Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I am Teron Davenport, your host here to bring you the Friday edition. A happy Friday edition as the Eagles ended their 5-game losing streak with a victory over the Giants. They said there's not going to be any celebrating in this house, at least not by the visiting team. The Giants were looking to clinch a playoff spot. Couldn't do that against the Eagles. Philadelphia came out. Awesome defensive performance. Nelson Aguilar, 40-yard touchdown. That was their first explosive play. That's a play of 25 or more yards since the Cincinnati Bengals game. We're talking about 3 weeks ago. So that was a big-time play. Carson Wentz hung in the pocket, let Nelson clear, and he went to him and put it up there. Nelson ran underneath it and got it. And, woo, I tell you what, that ball's in the air. I'm thinking, like, don't drop it, don't drop it, don't drop it. I talked to Nelson after the game, and he said that the only thing he was thinking about was tracking the football, and that's exactly what he did as he caught it. It was a very nice thing to see. You know, this is a guy that's had his ups and downs, you know, this season. And even in this game, I mean, it was bad for him from the start. You know, he was booed in the pregame intros. He had a drop in the first quarter also and heard the boos again. But he came out and he made the play that he needed to. It was a key touchdown for the Eagles, put them ahead. And it just, what more can you say about Nelson except for congratulations? You know, I talked to him in the locker room after the game, and he was very upbeat. He was happy. He was on the run because he had his little sister there, and obviously the game ended late, so he was trying to get out there and spend some time with his 15-year-old little sister. And it's a great thing, man, to see Nelson be able to come back like that. But it's even greater to see the Eagles do what they did. Carson Wentz, what more can you say about Wentz? You know, he was a guy that was able to elude the tacklers, the would-be pass rushers, the defenders in the pocket. And he, man, one of his runs, you know, he completely ducked the defender and ran 11 yards. But the biggest thing that happened to him was that hit. Olivier Vernon got him a little overzealous after the play, and he dragged him down, spiked him on his helmet. And as a result, you saw what happened. He had to be taken into the locker room for concussion symptoms. But the good thing about Carson is, I thought it was interesting. He ran out into the locker room because when he got to the bench, he felt that he was okay, shook the cobwebs off, and he came back. Chase Daniel got a little burn, so he got on the field to earn a little bit of that $7 million that he's going to be paid. But, it was an outstanding thing to see Wentz come back in after that. And a thing that wasn't outstanding is to see him as the lead blocker on that double reverse. That's a questionable play call. I don't know that you want your quarterback ever being the lead blocker, but especially after he was, you know, just in the locker room being evaluated for a concussion. But, hey, Doug Peterson's the coach. I'm the analyst, so we'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to tell him how to do his job, but I'm not so sure that I would have called that play. Anyhow, the balance was there on offense. You had 25 rushes, 25 pass attempts. It was good to see them find that balance. Lane Johnson was back. I mean, there's so many storylines to this game. Lane Johnson came back, and right away his impact was felt. Ryan Matthews had a 17-yard run, and then they did a good job getting him out in space. He got out in space, and he sealed Landon Collins on one of the blocks, and Darren Sproles was able to cut back and 25-yard touchdown. So the Eagles were once again right-handed. You know, this is a team I've said with Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks together, they like to run it to the right-hand side, and that's what they did, you know, with this rushing game, and they found success doing so. When you looked at the numbers, you know, collectively they had 118 yards rushing. They averaged 3.9 yards a carry. Darren Sproles, 7 for 40. Ryan Matthews, 18 for 46. One thing I didn't like was you didn't get to see Byron Marshall. I thought they needed to get him a couple touches as well. But either way, you look at what they ended up doing. They put up, you know, enough to to pull ahead. Obviously, the defense had a major role, but you know they were efficient on third down. Well, they were 4 for 12, so not overly efficient, 33%, but nevertheless, they put together 286 yards. So that's a good thing for the offense. But really, the story of this game has to be the defense and what they were able to do. I mean, I understand they gave up 460 yards of total offense. I understand that, and I know that's something to look at. I understand that Eli Manning passed for 356 yards. He had 63 attempts. I understand Odell Beckham Jr. ran through that defense, 11 catches, 150 yards. But they kept him out of the end zone, and that's a major thing. It's not something that's easy to do. In the last 41 games, Odell Beckham Jr. had 35 touchdowns. So this is a guy that clearly knows how to get to the end zone, but that wasn't happening this week against the Eagles. So that's something that, you know, could be a positive thing going forward. And just looking at the defense, you know, Beckham, you know, they were running a lot of cover two man. Beckham did a really good job of settling into the window on a couple crossing routes, especially on third down. You know, he made some big-time catches to convert the third down. Almost had one late in the game. Doug Peterson, you know, he had a generous spot, but Doug Peterson challenged it. Ended up being a 4th-and-1, a false start, put them in 4th-and-6. They had the double team. You know, they forced Eli Manning to go outside to Sterling Shepard, and Nolan Carroll was able to knock the ball away to force a turnover on downs. Then he had the next drive, a mysterious play call, you know, third down, and I believe it was 3rd-and-5 or something along those lines. And, you know, you have the downfield pass to Jordan Matthews. And I understand, you know, you want to be aggressive. I understand going for it and taking the opportunity to really stomp on their neck. But at that point, that wasn't necessary. I don't like that play call. I think that's something that, you know, you could have ran the football and forced them to call another timeout. There was still time left on the clock by the time Eli Manning and that offense got the ball back. And Beckham at the time was, you know, still in the midst of murdering that defense. So questionable play call there, but the defense, man, they came up and they, you know, winning covers all mistakes. You know, there was another call earlier in the game where they went for it on fourth and goal and didn't get it, and that was with Chase Daniel and that quarterback. Why not take the points? That's what some people would say. That would have made it an 8-point game. But the defense, I can't stress that enough. The defense really, you know, fueled this victory. Malcolm Jenkins had the pick six, the 34-yard interception return. He had another interception where he picked off Eli Manning when he was targeting Sterling Shepard. And that pick six gave Malcolm Jenkins the lead among all – not all time, I keep saying that – the lead among safeties. Active safeties, you know, with interception returns. That was his 6th one, his 4th interception this season. That's a career high as well. So Jenkins is really playing outstanding football. He did get beat by Shepard on one of the times they had. They didn't have anybody in the middle of the field. It was just, you know, your classic man defense. And Shepard was able to fight off the jam and get in the middle of the field. Eli hit him, strike for a touchdown. But the defense overall just played really well. And there were adjustments, too. You have to mention the adjustment that Malcolm Jenkins and Jim Schwartz made together. They got tired of Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, Beckham had 20 targets, caught 11 of them, and they targeted Victor Cruz 13 times. He caught 8. But when you look at Beckham, they say, you know what? We're not going to let him beat us. And the way that they did that was they used the box and one coverage. They decided to go ahead and have Jalen Mills, the rookie, who some have said, you know, isn't a solid corner. I don't know if your teammates and your coach are going to say, look, we want you as a rookie to cover one of the top 3 receivers in the NFL. I think that says a lot. But they went to that, you know, the box and one coverage, as well as, you know, obviously he had help. You know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to, you know, say that he didn't have help and he covered in one-on-one, because he didn't. That's the box and one. But they wanted to have Mills, his competitiveness and his physicality against Beckham as the primary defender. It forced him to go outside a couple times. But when they did that, that allowed Terrence Brooks to come in the game also. Malcolm Jenkins, I talked to him after the game, and he said, you know, their goal was to, you know, take one of the defensive linemen out and bring in another defensive back. He said Jim Schwartz asked him, well, who do you want to bring in? And that's when Jenkins told them, hey, look, we want to bring Terrence in. Terrence Brooks, the free agent signing, he was released by the Ravens, and they brought him in. And T. Brooks is a guy that, you know, I covered for a couple of years with the Ravens, and it's good to see him come in. His first career interception couldn't have come at a better time. You know, he's on a new team. He's adapting to his new teammates, and they're bonding, and they're becoming one unit. And, man, to have one of your teammates step up for you and tell a coach to get you in the game, I think that speaks volumes. And obviously he and Malcolm Jenkins, they've worked together day in and day out. Like I asked Malcolm, you know, in the press conference, and he said that, you know, we have trust in him. We see what he's done. He's made multiple plays on special teams. So it was definitely gratifying, not only for Brooks, but for his teammates, to see him seal the deal with that interception. He said he was going to take he had the game ball. He had that ball in his locker. You know, after the game, he said that's one that he's going to keep. And you just look at just what he's been able to do. The guy just kept plugging away. And, man, he finally found the way back on the field defensively, had been a special team standout. It's really good to see him make that play. But then you look at some of the other guys. You know, this secondary, obviously they had their issues. There's no lying about that. You know, McKelvin got beat. Nolan Carroll got beat. But I tell you what, when the stuff hit the fan and it was time to play, they did what they had to do. Leotis McKelvin had an outstanding pass breakup to Roger on the pass to Roger Lewis. It was, and I talked to him about this one also, and you know, he kind of smiled when I said it was reminiscent of the touchdown that Roger Lewis had in week 9, I think it was, against the Eagles. It was a lot similar as far as the play was concerned, and he said that, well, the only thing that was different was this time I didn't run into my own man, and that's really what happened. He did a good job of jumping and knocking the ball away, avoiding contact so that way you can't get the pass interference call. That was a key play for the Eagles at the time. And then we mentioned Nolan Carroll's pass breakup on the curl route to Shepard. So on a fourth down. So this secondary, you can't say enough about what they were able to do late in the game. Malcolm Jenkins deserves a lot of credit for stepping up. You know, it takes guts to go to your coach and tell him you want to change. And it takes guts as a coach, as a coordinator, to agree with that change and make it. I think that says a lot about Jim Schwartz. You know, we talk about him being cocky and arrogant, but I tell you what, it took, you know, a lot of confidence in your guys to make that adjustment. So you got to shout out Jim Schwartz on that one, too. I think that was a really good job of you know, trusting his leaders on the team. So the defense played really well, man. Terrence Brooks' interception, you look at that. You know, that was on a play in which Manning was under pressure from Vinnie Curry, you know, a guy who obviously hasn't, you know, played the way you would want someone who signed a big deal like that to, you know, to play, but he still came up with a key play, you know, in the clutch. Brandon Graham had a couple pressures. You know, they were hitting Eli Manning, and I've seen Eli standing in the fire and you know, take the hit and deliver the throw, but they just continued to get after him. And man, when you look at just as a whole, that defense, they really stood out. And you have to shout out the special teams unit also. You know, they continue to you know, be the outstanding unit. Chris Maragos, I think, is deserving of a Pro Bowl berth in the playoffs. I'm surely going to vote for him as a special teams, and not in the playoffs, in a Pro Bowl berth, you know, after the playoffs, obviously. But, you know, I'm going to vote for him as a special teams, you know, all pro. That's definitely one of my votes, and you just see what he's been able to do. He and Terrence Brooks, you know, both of these guys have played outstanding. So this was a complete game in all facets. The offense obviously didn't have the pass results that you would want, but still they were effective enough to keep drives moving. I'll tell you what, 24-19, the victory for the Eagles, and man, you know, it's good to see the team, you know, be in the locker room with the guys after a victory, because they're always more open and willing to talk. I mean, I'm not saying that they shy away from, you know, conversation when they lose, but it's always a more pleasant conversation when they win. So outstanding job by the Eagles getting their first NFC East division win of the 2016 season. Doug Peterson, obviously, is going to have to learn from his mistakes. There's some things that, you know, need to be cleaned up. He did have a really good challenge, as I mentioned earlier, on the generous spot, you know, to force the fourth down. But there's still something to be desired. That's your show. I'm Teron Davenport. Be sure to follow on Audio Boom and iTunes, the Locked On Eagles podcast. Shoot me to follow on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, as well as the EaglesWire.USAToday.com. Happy holidays to everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the time with family. We'll be back on Monday. I appreciate you tuning in.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.